Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
I scrounged my brain. Scrounged it. Found the perfect opening joke.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is it?
Yet again, I did come up with a winner to start the show.
We're starting off on the right Bigfoot.
And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still. It's a show.
It's a show. Sometimes.
Where we answer the questions you never thought to ask. I'm Nick Wood.
Where we answer the questions you never thought to ask. Please print below the signature that was cursive speaking that you just did. And I'm John Vegan.
How you doing?
I'm great.
I just want to warn our listeners, I'm not feeling so great.
Yeah.
I'm a little off kilter today. I can't hear out of my right ear. I do have a pretty severe ear infection, which has caused me to miss a lot of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy this one. what are we talking about?
I don't know. You're bumming me out. You're terrible. This is awful. I hate it. You're off balance. Let's get on track. Let's get those ears fixed.
Is there a pun in here
you
somewhere?
You put vinegar in there?
No. Gross.
Why?
They have me on these antibiotics that are 875 milligrams. They're like the size of this knuckle on my pinky.
It's a decently sized knuckle.
Yeah. Thanks for telling our audience, because this isn't a visual podcast. This week, we're talking about cryptids. Ooh. Mm-hmm. There have been, I don't know if you heard of this, but there have been Mothman sightings in the Midwest. Are you excited? You know what this means, right?
No, I didn't see the movie.
You don't have to see the movie to know about the Mothman.
Oh, okay. Well,
the Mothman is notorious for eating your sweaters.
Sneaks into your house at night. He goes in. Is that Angora?
The best thing, though, is all you have to do to distract him is turn on your light and you can escape.
Yeah, he'll run into that.
Yeah, they're just kind of like bong, 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 bong. So Mothman usually notoriously shows up before some sort of disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm doing my math right, he showed up. This is kind of old news, but I wanted to do this episode for a long time. We just haven't got to it. So he showed up around August. There was some really fuzzy pictures that showed up in Chicago. And the people that took the photo claimed that it was a 5 to 6 foot humanoid that was flying around. And to me, in the picture, it just looks like a bat. But
yeah.
I guess supposedly he is much bigger in person. And if I'm doing my math right, we have, I didn't do my math, what, 8 more months until some sort of disaster happens?
Is that the time frame? Is it like a baby?
So
it's
gotta
grow?
Well, no. We gotta get into this. We'll talk about the Mothman in a second, but in his first appearance, he showed up, and then 13 months later, the Silver Bridge collapsed.
Oh.
That's like his crowning moment. So I'm giving us until, what, September next year.
Okay, so he's like an insect terrorist. Like, he just likes to blow stuff
up. He doesn't do it. Some people don't think that he does it. Some people do. Most people just say he shows up when disaster's going to happen. He's an omen to tell you something bad's going to happen.
So he's kind of not so bad then, huh?
Right.
He's just like, what's up? So why is
he just misunderstood?
Creepy? Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll get into it, because today's episode, we're going to be talking about cryptids, which is super exciting. And we could do full episodes on all the ones that we're going to cover. But instead, I just wanted to cover 5. So I asked our Facebook group what they wanted to hear covered. And if you want to hear more, Jason Lee from our Facebook page, shout out to Jason
Lee, who gave us permission to say his last name.
That's what I'm saying his last name. He let me know there's 2 podcasts out there dedicated to covering cryptids. Every episode is one cryptid, and they go top to bottom on these guys, and I've heard of the Cryptid Keeper was one of them.
Yeah, I heard a promo for them and it sounded cool too.
And then there's another one called Whoa Nessie, which sounds pretty good. So if you want to listen to like more in depth, that's where you're going to go, but we're just going to cover your guys' favorites or what you guys wanted to know the most about.
Maybe we'll get one of those dudes or ladies or whatever human they are on
get
the
a
show.
Follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been thinking about a lot. I think we should just do a follow-up on the Mandela Effect with Phil.
Yeah. Because
we missed that opportunity when we covered the episode. We should just do a follow-up.
Okay.
We should start doing follow-ups on our episodes.
A follow-up?
I'm just going to ignore that one. So we're going to... My job here today is to explain...
Can I catch him before he's gone, Zales?
Stop it! So my job here is to explain where these cryptids came from and what their mythology is, and then try to my best to explain them away for all of our skeptic listeners out there. And for the most part, I use the cryptid wiki. There's cryptids.wiki.com or org or something. They had like all of the resources you would ever need on all of this stuff. And I use some other articles as well. But
I feel like when you're in school and they say you shouldn't use Wikipedia as a prime source, this is like
this is literal
folklore.
Well, this,
so it's perfect for this.
This is a wiki dedicated to cryptids. So it's like one of those fan wikis that it's made with love. And also it's folklore, so none of the stuff's real anyway.
But that's why I'm saying this is perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's literally like, it's just stories from people, a collection of stories from people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Handed down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So even if they get it wrong from like the real stuff, that's just how apocryphal stories like this evolve. So some people might be sitting out there and they're like, what the heck is a cryptid? So why don't you define it for us, John?
Sure. It's a creep, a goblin, a monster, a folklore little fella used to explain away things that you can't. So when people were like ancient
jumping to the
Egyptians, when they were like, the sun is God, because I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
People did the same thing because our baby brains are dumb and said, oh no, my goats all died. It can't be a wolf. I haven't seen one. It must be the chupacabra.
Yeah. Well, that's partly true. Some of these have existed since the dawn of time, but other of these came up in like the 60s and 70s.
Was that 6 a.m.?
What?
The dawn of time?
Yeah.
I always forget that.
You forgot to check your clock? Clocks don't tell you when the dawn of time is.
They wouldn't exist yet.
I can't today. So
that's a good riddle, though. How do you check the dawn of time?
With your watch.
No, it's one of those jokes that you just sit and go, never thought of it that way. And then you sip your mocha latte.
Oh, mocha latte, chocolate.
No edits. Let's go.
I wasn't going to edit any of that out. Kidding me? So as we're going through this episode, I might sound dismissive, but just know, you guys, you all know that I'm a skeptic. That being said, there's a ton of creatures throughout history that we thought were legends that ended up being real. Like the giant squid is the best example that I have.
Yeah.
Where people are like, there's the Kraken out there. And then we, like this giant squid washes up on shore and we're like, what the hell is this 30-foot squid?
That's my favorite thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm so interested in deep ocean. We should do the whole deep ocean thing one.
Yeah. That's the scariest thing to me, man.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of cryptids that exist in the ocean, but what, like 98% of our oceans haven't been explored?
Yeah.
I was going to get that stat for this show, but I forgot. So I don't know. That's probably not right. But a lot of our oceans haven't been explored.
Yeah.
And there's stuff like the coelacanth that we thought was extinct. It's millions of years old and we thought it went extinct. And then like 3 years ago, one showed up and it was alive and well.
Yeah. In shallow water too.
Yeah. So who's to say there's not like a megalodon down in the depths of the ocean that we just haven't found?
Yeah.
Or there's a giant Bigfoot in the forests that we haven't found.
Well, nah. Oceans are where my money is.
Oceans are a lot less explored. So it's a lot more likely there's things that we haven't found there. But also we find new species in the rainforests every day.
And we also destroy most of it
every day. But my point is there's a lot of things out there that you can't just dismiss some of these. Some of these you can definitely dismiss, and I'll get to those. But some of them, it's like, I wonder. So the actual definition of a cryptid, I forgot to go over this, is it's just some sort of creature that may or may not have its roots in folklore. It certainly sounds like folklore and may or may not exist. Most likely does not exist. Like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the most famous cryptids. Some of the more obscure ones, like technically you can count dragons or mermaids as cryptids because mermaids were part of folklore, dragons were part of folklore. So it's anything from dragons to Bigfoot.
Would you include modern versions of it to be like, does it have to be veiled in truth? Like, oh, this might be real?
No.
So it could be like Slenderman.
Exactly. Slenderman is a cryptid.
Okay.
From my understanding. I'm sure there's some sort of caveat where I'm wrong, but...
Or the Babadook.
The Babadook, yeah. Like, yes, the Babadook. Absolutely.
Cool.
That one's kind of rooted in folklore, but Slenderman came from the whole thing, and this is where I wish that I had asked Jeff beforehand what he would define, like, Slenderman or Anansi's Goatman, all these creepypastas that come up.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think these things are real. They're meant to entertain, but a lot of people take them as, like, a story that someone actually experienced.
Yeah.
So if you go out and read Anansi's Goatman, which I'm going to talk about later, a lot of people think that the Goatman Man's a real thing because of that. Or the Slender Man came from a Photoshop. It was like a writing prompt. Someone saw this Photoshopped image and they're like, I'm going to write a story about this. And then it spawned into this whole thing where one
now girl, it's a movie.
Yeah. Like these two girls, did they murder a girl or almost a murdered a girl?
I don't know.
I think they murdered the poor girl. Because they thought it was real. And that's not it's not ironic. Like, they actually thought the Slender Man was real and they wanted to summon him. So that's a cryptid. Is that a good enough definition?
Yes.
I think we've encompassed it all. And we're going to go through five today. I'm going to go in this order. We've got the Mothman, we've got Goatman, Chupacabra, Bigfoot, and the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
And
Number one voted.
I know, yeah. So I put a bunch of these up on our Facebook page to see what you guys wanted to hear. And I put, like, everyone I could think of. Kind of disappointed I don't get to talk about the Loch Ness Monster, but I think that one's well covered enough. I'm not going to add anything to it. I'm not going to add much to the Bigfoot conversation either, but we're still going to cover it because you guys wanted it. So, should we hop into these cryptids?
Yeah.
I think we should start with Mothman because that's why I wanted to do this episode.
He's going to just foresee a disastrous podcast to follow.
Yep, we're going down in flames. So, as everyone knows, the Mothman was first spotted in...
Mothman Prophecies 2000 with, what's his face? Nicolas Cage.
Close enough. He was first spotted in Point Pleasant, West Virginia in 1966, which, just to put this in reference, is 6 years after Scooby-Doo first aired. The first people to see him were a group of five grave diggers that were preparing a grave at night, and they claimed to have seen a large winged creature like take off over the trees that they were near. And then 3 days later, four people were near an old power plant in the area, and one woman saw these glowing red eyes like right next to the power plant and started screaming. So everyone looked over and saw another giant winged creature that was 6 or 7 feet tall, and it started coming at them. Like, it started flying toward them. They freaked out, they got in their car, and they started speeding down the highway going like 100 miles an hour. Here's the scary part: the creature kept up with them.
Oh, that's bad.
So it was trailing them down the highway, and when they got back to town, they got out of the car and there's no sight of the Mothman there. They reported it to the police, so we have documentation of this. They didn't seem to be like high on drugs or anything. Police went out there and saw nothing. Then,
what a fun day to be a cop, though. Like, imagine going out there like, I don't know, not even moth's eyes glow, do they?
No, they don't. I'm sure if you shine the right light on it or something. But according to the Wikipedia page, over the next year, there was 100 reporting sightings. So it's like one every 3 days, there was some sort of reported sighting of the Mothman. And finally, on December 15th, 1967, so 13 months later, many reported seeing the Mothman standing on the Silver Bridge just before it collapsed. And that's the most famous incident of the Mothman. Some people say that he was there and caused it. Some people say that he was there just to warn people that it was happening.
Yeah. Some people say he was a structural engineer that was bit by a moth. And he could tell that the maintenance was not upkept on that bridge. He was looking at the pylons.
And the moth was full of TMNT ooze, and he turned into Mothman.
Yep, the power to run towards lights.
That's the funny thing, though, is that there was a lot of documented structural damage. Like, before this ever happened, people knew that there was faults in the structure and that it was going to come down at some point.
That's back when he was still Gary Mothman, though. Yeah. And he worked on the bridge as an engineer.
It's kind of fitting that his last name was already Mothman.
Yeah, it was weird. Kind of weird, yeah.
Yeah, but there's also been sightings of him at Chernobyl, and there was apparently two pictures of the Mothman associated with 9/11. I saw one, there was the Twin Towers, and then there was some sort of figure in the sky flying away from it.
Yeah.
That was supposedly the Mothman. So he's there to kind of warn people about disasters.
Right.
So Chicago, watch out.
Yep.
If I were you, I would not go in the, what's the Sears Tower called now? The
Amazon Tower, probably?
No, it's Wilson?
I've never been there, man.
I don't know. Don't go in that tower in September is all I'm trying to say. Don't go in the Sears Tower, because, like, if I can think of one thing that would go bad, like, you'd be standing in those glass cases in the Sears Tower and then, like, it'd fall off, and that's always my fear.
Yeah.
That's why I don't step in those things.
Where you look down under your feet and you're floating?
Yeah. I'd rather be alive.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I don't have a super good explanation for the Mothman. There's several explanations for the disasters that happen. Like the safety faults in the bridge. The official reports say that it could have been a large heron or a sandhill crane or an owl.
Those all sound made up. A sandhill crane?
Yeah. It's a bird, a water-dwelling bird that are about 3 feet tall with a wingspan of just over 5 feet. So a lot smaller than these people are reporting the Mothman was.
Yeah.
The other problem, and this is going to come up a lot, so I'm just going to say it right up at the top. There's this thing called mass hysteria, and we've talked about it before. We talked about it in the Salem Witch Trials episode, where where people is in modern days, just to give us some context, it's like when the news across the nation is like, there's an Ebola breakout, doctor's visits spike because we're just like sitting there watching the TV and we're like, oh crap, I have Ebola, I got to go to the doctor now.
Okay, just a little brief little Ebola tangent.
Yeah.
I donate plasma for a year and a half, maybe 2 years after the Ebola thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many people died from Ebola in the U.S.?
One.
It was one.
Yeah.
There were five questions devoted to, have you been to an Ebola-affected area?
Yeah.
Have you traveled to Africa recently? Have you ever been told by a doctor that you have Ebola? Those are three questions they kept for 2 years after that.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
So, like, it's the same thing where this hysteria hits and everyone's like, oh, this weird thing happened. It had to be the Mothman because that's what everyone else is saying. Mm-hmm. And there's also a bit, I don't have the exact specifics, like, right around when the bridge collapsed, these two guys came to town and supposedly they're like money hungry scam artists that kind of sensationalized the Mothman. They wrote the book, I think it was The Mothman Prophecies, the book.
Okay.
And they sensationalized it a lot, and supposedly, I mean, this is coming from a skeptic's point of view, this was on the Skeptic Dictionary, I don't remember what it was, but they said that these guys were just out for money. And I think if I'm taking the middle ground, the road goes both ways, where you can't just dismiss these guys as money hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they were, so I don't know.
I feel like at this point I have such little faith in people's cognitive dissonance and all that,
yeah,
that we can say we're going to create a cryptid on this podcast, come up with it by the end of the show,
yeah,
and
we'll do that after
Photoshop something and still convince people it's real,
yeah,
even after they listen to this.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's just how it's annoying how that works.
We're gonna come up with one. I'll all think right about it.
We'll do it after the break.
Yep.
So next we've got Goatman. There's a creepypasta out there. I talked about Anansi's Goatman story, and this spooked me a long time ago for two reasons. I didn't know, like many people, that a lot of these stories were made just as stories. They weren't meant to come across as true. I didn't know that when I was like 16 reading this thing.
Yeah.
And second of all, the setting and the situation was something I could completely relate to. Like, it takes place with a group of teenagers camping in like their parents' forested backyard, like as something I did when I was a kid with one of my friends. So it kind of hit home with me. It freaked me out. Worth a read. Don't know if it holds up. If I read it today, I'd probably be like, this is dumb, but maybe it's worth a read.
All right.
The origins of Goatman go back way further than that, and I feel like this story was probably definitely inspired by that. If I remember, I'll have to go back and read it. The Goatman is most famous in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and surprisingly Texas, of all places. Maryland, Pennsylvania, they're pretty close together. Texas?
Hmm.
Black sheep? I don't know. So the sightings go back to ancient Greece, and he or she also might be known as the Waterford Sheepman, the Popelik monster, which I had heard in some context. Yeah. I don't remember where.
Well, the thing, they didn't invent goats until what year? They had just had sheep back in Egyptian times.
Yes, that's right. Or the Proctor Valley Monster. Those are some other names that this might go by. Most of the legends state that he is half goat, half man. The Maryland legend has him roaming the outskirts of Beltsville, Maryland, wielding an axe and usually attacking couples in parked cars, if you know what I mean.
Oh, like they're raising like my eyebrows. Smooching their faces
they're
off.
They're smooching their faces off. And then he takes their face off with an axe.
Wow.
And that seems to kind of be a theme. Down in the South, there's a teenage couple in a parked car. They tried to start the car, but they couldn't, and then they're attacked by the Goatman with an axe. The other thing is he's usually the result of some strange man experimenting on goats or sheep when things go wrong and he becomes fused with one.
Right, which is also kind of a PG-13 story because they were also in a car when they created the Goatman.
Gross.
Also, if you have like a warm baby bottle,
mm-hmm,
easily foiled. He just... Mm. Yeah. Make sure it's warm though. God forbid. Are you kidding?
No.
You give him some cold milk, you're
getting
an axe. Yeah.
So I'm speaking pretty generally about him, and I don't have a lot of information about him because there's not a lot of documented cases. This is one of the more apocryphal stories where pretty much it's just, there was a couple and they were attacked by the half man, half goat. Dun, dun, dun. There's not like, yeah, we saw him next to the Silver Bridge. There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's, I guess, urban legend is the word I was trying to think of. It's more of an urban.
And then there were those videos of like goats that were born in India with deformities and stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's like a goat with a man face. Remember those things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Photoshops.
I wonder if... No, there were video. There's video of like a goat that
that's
has like...
gross.
It, poor little guy died, like, because it's just a genetic disorder.
Yeah. So in terms of where this originated, I don't have like a concrete story. I also don't have any real explanations for the sightings because there's no documentation. So I'd like to know what your explanation is to dismiss the goat man.
The goat man?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's probably not real. It's probably a bunch of kids with a campfire.
Yeah.
Second of all, warm milk. Make sure it's warm. If it's too hot, your face is gone.
Yeah.
Make it warm.
You're going to look like the guy from Indiana Jones and the...
Melty Skeleton.
The Melty Skeleton.
Indiana Jones man. And the Melty Skeleton Man. My favorite one.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. Really, really star in the series.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Chupacabra's next. Just because I said it is.
Okay.
The Chupacabra is a pretty cool cryptid. He's also very modern. The first sighting of him was in Puerto Rico in 1995.
Yeah.
So very modern.
He's an American.
Technically, yeah. Yeah, he is. But he's most famous in Mexico, Puerto Rico, and some of the southern United States, but mostly Mexico. In that area.
He's America adjacent.
American adjacent of origin.
He's part of the he's not a continental cryptoid.
Yeah, and if Trump had his way, the Chupacabra would be banned in the United States, so there's that.
Bummer that he can fly over walls. Probably, right? Does he have wings?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So the whole legend began when one farmer woke up and found 8 of his sheep had been killed and completely drained of blood. And they also had 3 weird little puncture marks that were hard to explain. And ever since then, again, mass hysteria struck, and there were more than 100 sightings just in one town, and was blamed for over 1,000 animal deaths. All of the deaths involved blood being drained and some weird puncture wounds. Kind of creepy. 1,000 animals.
Was this documented?
It was documented. And there were several eyewitness accounts saying that like it was in their backyard or it was coming in through my window trying to steal my baby, which always seems to be a common theme. And we got some pretty good descriptions of it. There are some explanations that match other descriptions better than others, but for the most part, it may have red glowing eyes. Usually it'll have gray skin, a snake-like tongue, and maybe some quills coming out of its back, or maybe wings coming out of its back, so it might be able to fly.
Okay.
Or they might just be like spiny quills. Always has long arms, long legs, may or may not walk on 2 legs, usually really tiny, like 2, 1.5 feet tall, and it's likely hairless.
Wait, it's a little guy?
Yeah, it's like a tiny little guy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not like a big giant beast.
That's always
kind of separates it from all the other ones.
Yeah. In most monster lore,
yeah,
it's giant monsters.
Yeah.
And what's that Korean movie that's
Host?
Yeah, where they made like a life size, like the monster's not huge.
Yeah,
it's just big.
Yeah,
I like that.
It depends on the culture it comes from. Like in European countries, there are a lot of fairies and imps that are really small, or like the will-o-wisps that are always really small.
Yeah,
come over to the United States, everything's got to be big, like Bigfoot. And
yeah,
like
or if you're in the city and it's skyscrapers, it's
right,
Tokyo, you know.
Yeah. The best explanation I came to was from Texas in 2010. There was an animal control officer that thought he saw the Chupacabra. So what are you going to do?
Fire him.
Yeah, he...
Oh.
Well, he shot at him.
Okay.
He fired at him. He didn't fire the Chupacabra. He shot and killed what he thought was the Chupacabra.
I would fire the officer for believing
that. Oh, sorry. Yeah. My mistake. They took it to the Texas A&M University and did some studies on it and found that it was a coyote dog hybrid, which is something I didn't know you could do. You can breed coyotes and dogs together and get a, I don't know what you would call it.
Doyote.
It's my favorite kind of car. It had a bunch of parasites in it, and it had mange, which gave it the look of a chupacabra.
Yeah.
Which mange is like a skin condition where the hair just kind of falls out.
Yeah.
And it's got like really dry, patchy skin. And that's going to come up a bunch here too. Mange is a pretty big explanation for a lot of cryptids.
That's awful.
You know what? So is the Sandhill Crane. We're going to get to that when we talk about the Jersey Devil. I don't know. The best explanation, pretty much everything, was that it was some animal that had mange, and that's the best we got for the Chupacabra.
Isn't it weird that we have undiscovered species under the ocean, undiscovered species deep in the rainforest, and
we still care about this?
We make up stuff.
Goat killer in Mexico.
Not only that, but like we have all these beautiful, ridiculously strange animals, like the Dumbo octopus, and we still make up like really lame ones compared to the real stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like 1995, like, why do you need a new monster?
Yeah.
Just go watch Godzilla again.
I don't know. I think it is time for a new monster. It's 2018. We're going to come up with it
after the
break.
We're going to make one. Yeah. I think we should talk about Bigfoot. This is, what, number four for us? Yeah. So we're second to last here. Let's talk about Bigfoot. He goes by many names. In the Middle East, you might know him as Almas. Japan, they might call him Higabon or Hinagon. Vietnam, they call him Batutut.
Cool.
I'm probably not pronouncing that right. Might also be known as the skunk ape, Sasquatch. In Australia, they call him Yowie. I'm sure a lot of people know it as the Yeti. That's in some of the more northern Asian countries. And all of the descriptions are the same. Do you want to describe Sasquatch for our audience in case they don't know what
big
what
hairy it is? Guy, hairless feet.
Yes.
Maybe some hair on the feet. But
maybe some hair.
I always picture them like, pretty hairless.
Yeah, pretty hairless. Really tall, like 7 or 8 feet.
Just like a human and a gorilla. Mm-hmm. Combined.
Yep. Walking on 2 feet, which is, I guess, what separates it from gorillas.
Yeah. If you've ever seen any beef jerky commercial, every brand thinks that that's the way to go.
Yes. Every brand.
Every brand of beef jerky is like, you know what?
Yep. Bigfoot. So everyone knows, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time describing Bigfoot. There's not really any one place where the legends began. According to the Wikipedia, it's been around for 1 million years, which is stupid because that's just what Neanderthals were.
Yeah. It really brings the question, what
also,
came
they
first?
Didn't have beef jerky back then.
Did beef jerky or Sasquatch come first?
I don't know. Who knows?
It's like the chicken.
Literally nobody knows. Mm-hmm. There's also been a ton of photographs, like the Patterson-Gimlin film from 1967 that everyone knows about, where he's like doing that pose, classic Sasquatch pose.
Yeah. Walking.
Yeah. He's like got his arms swinging to the sides. There was one even recently, and all of these unfortunately have turned out to be a hoax, which is pretty disappointing. Everyone thought the Patterson-Gimlin film was real up until like 3 years ago, until the guys came forth and like, yeah, that was Steve dressed up in a gorilla suit.
Yeah, geez, people are, oh boy. Okay, so now there's a new show mm-hmm. that's out, Hunting Sasquatch.
Let's talk about this.
Do you know who the actors are in that show?
No.
Can we look it up real quick?
Look it up on your phone.
It's very important.
You look it up, and I'm gonna go on a rant real fast, because I've always wondered, there's always been like Hunting Sasquatch shows around for forever, like documentary style, Discovery Channel, Animal Planet documentaries, you know, and it's always like, will they find Sasquatch? Well, no, we know they don't, because if they did, it would be international news. So who's watching this show? Who's out there like, I need to watch Finding Sasquatch, see if they finally get him this week. Thanks for participating in my rant.
I told you I'm looking stuff up.
Multitask Man is my favorite Mega Man villain. Multitask Man and just vamping. So you're welcome. That way I don't have to edit.
Okay, hold on. This is very important because it's I thought it was called Finding Bigfoot, but it's like John Stamos or something.
What?
Like someone that's like on other shows and like famous celebrity decided, you know what? I'm just going to do, me and my kids are going to go and try to find Bigfoot.
Are you thinking of Rob Lowe?
Yeah.
He's doing a ghost show.
Hold on. With his kids?
Yeah.
What's that one called?
I don't remember. It's like, it's the Lowe Files or something. There's a podcast out there called Don't Go In There that covers all the ghost hunting shows. It's a very entertaining co-hosts there.
There's another one where they're trying to find like Bigfoot.
Well, we'll circle back around to it.
Okay.
That? So there are what I would call more reliable sources. Like back in 1811, over 100 years ago, a man found a set of giant footprints in the snow in Canada. And it's little bits of documentation like that impact me more than the hoaxes.
Yeah.
Like, these people had no reason to fake it. They didn't have anything to gain from it. News travels incredibly slowly 100 years ago. So what are they going to get out of making this up?
Yeah, even if they were to take pictures or, like, they, well, can't.
Yeah.
And then you can't, even if you print it, you can make something up way scarier.
Yeah.
So that's probably real.
Yeah.
But I also think that we really just started discovering what the hell is going on recently.
Yeah.
In the world with everything.
Yeah.
Like, we were pretty dumb back then.
Yeah.
So we probably didn't, there were probably way more animals.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like one of the explanations here is that it was a black bear.
Yeah.
Which I looked at the footprints, and like when they get their full foot on the ground, it kind of looks like a big human footprint.
Yeah.
It's a little more wide than I would expect, but I could definitely see that being one of the explanations.
Or maybe there was a species of bear that is extinct now.
Yeah. So that's one of the other things. So before I get there, there's just been so many fakes out there that it's hard for me to just like trust a lot lot of the documentation out there.
Yeah.
Because so many of them have turned out to be hoaxes. There's one other thing that really piques my interest, which is how are there so many similar creatures across so many cultures? I think we've touched on this before, but like, why does this exist in the Middle East and Northern Asia and in America?
In the 1800s.
And in Australia.
When no one was communicating.
Like, and there's no mass hysteria around. Sorry. It's just like, I don't know. It's just weird to me. So like, it's the same thing with dragons.
That's another episode I feel like would be fun to do again. Yeah. Multiple discovery is what we talked about.
Follow up on that one. Yeah. And the last thing I want to talk about is like the mountain gorilla. For a long time, people thought there were these giant ape man that would kidnap and eat people. And eventually we found the mountain gorilla. And there were these giant herbivorous gorillas that lived in the forests of Africa. I feel like there's a chance that at some point in history that spun off into its own thing and became Bigfoot.
Yeah.
That's my explanation.
Because they're herbivores, but they still protect their family. So they probably get violent sometimes.
Yeah. And they're big and they're scary. There was an Oxford geneticist. This is like the most interesting thing about this entire episode. There was a geneticist that took a bunch of unidentified animal hairs.
Mm-hmm.
So they had like dozens and dozens of these hairs that people are like, I don't know what this belongs to. And Bigfoot enthusiasts were hoping that they would find Bigfoot hair. They didn't find any Bigfoot hair, otherwise you would have heard about it. But they did find unidentified ursine hair. There was a sample from the Himalayas that belonged, they believe, based on DNA, that it belonged to an ancient ancestor of the polar bear. And this means that there's very, very likely an undocumented species of like some sort of ancient bear living in the Himalayas that we just haven't found. And I feel like that might be a good explanation for the Yeti.
Yeah.
Which is where, I mean, the Himalayas is where the Yeti comes from. And I feel like for me, I feel like that's what Bigfoot is. I feel like people are looking for some sort of humanoid, but in reality, it's just like a bear that looks a little bit different, or a gorilla or monkey that looks a little bit different.
Yeah.
And as I said before, there's species that we thought were extinct for the longest time, and then they pop up again. So what's to say it's not like some weird genetic line of the gorilla or a bear that we thought was extinct that is still roaming around?
Yeah. And you notice, I feel like a lot of the more popular ones in the United States are from places that we don't have easy access to, other than the Mothman, which is its own thing. But like, it's not like I could just look for Bigfoot in the U.S. I mean, is that where that show takes place, or like?
Yeah, a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of forests like the Redwood Forest or up in Minnesota. There's always some sort of myth.
Okay, so there's mythological creatures that they do focus on that.
But the other thing, though, is that there's it's so vast that it'd be very hard to find him, but it would also be very hard to prove that it doesn't exist.
The other thing is, like, this has been, what was the first Bigfoot sighting?
It's been. There's no documentation.
Okay, but if it's one creature, don't you think it would die by now?
Yeah.
Like a long time ago.
Yeah, well, then the explanation from Bigfoot enthusiasts is that he traverses dimensions, which is where you lose me.
Yeah.
You certainly lose me when you start talking about that. I think we should round out our show talking about the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
The hockey team.
Right.
Spooky. They win like every Stanley Cup, and it pisses me off. That's not true. They haven't won in a long time recently. But for a long time, they won like every single Stanley Cup. Anyway, no, they're named after the cryptid.
Okay. Yeah, and basically they've won enough Stanley Cups to host a brunch.
Yes.
Everyone gets their own.
They fill it up with mimosas.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I say this for last is, like you said before, it was the most requested on our Facebook page. And I was also surprised at the amount of information there is on the Jersey Devil. Like, cool. I thought there'd be pages and pages about Bigfoot and Sasquatch. And there was like a page here, a page there. Jersey Devil was like overflowing with information.
Cool.
So I'm going to do my best to kind of sum up everything. There's a lot of documentation again on this one.
Yeah.
But not a lot of variety. So it's kind of easy to sum up. The Jersey Devil has roamed the New Jersey-ish area for 2.5 centuries.
Mm-hmm.
So it started about 260 years ago is what we believe. And the origins have become apocryphal in and of itself. There's no like definitive answer as to where the Jersey Devil legends came from. Usually it's that a woman gave birth to a devil child that like flew out of her, or it could be the result of a satanic ritual. The most common origin that I came across was that there was a descendant of the Leeds family. The Leeds family was one of the early settlers in America, and a lot of people around there just sort of hated the Leeds family. And legend goes that there was one woman known as Mother Leeds, was pregnant with her 13th child, which is the unlucky number.
Yeah, that's the bad number.
It's the bad number, in case you didn't know.
There's other bad numbers. That's one of the
That's one of the bad ones. the father of the children wasn't really around, didn't do a good job supplying for the family, and she just kind of was pissed off at him. So she at one point said, "I hope this is a devil child." And
oof.
I know, she should have said that.
How did she know the curse?
That's how you summon it.
I hope that this child's like a demon or something.
I'm glad she talks like that.
She's from Jersey.
Yeah. So she gave months, or she gave months. She gave birth several months early, and when the baby came out, it morphed in front of her eyes into a tiny little devil.
And she's like, "That's not exactly what I meant. I thought it would come out that way. That was weird, but
it's just weird."
All right.
Yeah, like it grew hooves and wings and
cool
and stuff right in front of her eyes. And throughout the 1800s, there was plenty of sightings. Many people would hear it scream, and they'd look over and see some sort of winged creature with hooves. A lot of the time, it would be eating livestock. In the 1900s, we started to see hoof prints show up, like in the snow. We had a lot of people shooting at it and that sort of thing. In the early 1900s, there was one farmer that was woken up by this loud screech, and he looked out his window and saw the Jersey Devil.
Mm-hmm.
And according to his account, he stared at it for a solid 10 minutes. And this is a direct quote from him. "It was about 3 feet, 3.5 feet high, with a head like a collie dog and a face like a horse. It had a long neck, wings about 2 feet long, and its back legs were like those of a crane. It had horse's hooves. It walked on its back legs and held up two short front legs with paws on them." I can't even imagine this anymore. He's lost me. "It didn't use the front legs at all while we were watching. My wife and I were scared, I tell you, but I managed to open the window and say, 'Shoo!' And it turned around and barked at me and flew away." I just like that he's like, "Shoo.
Hey, stop it.
Hey, get out of here, man.
Hey, knock it off."
So there's always plenty of other sightings. Mostly it was around to terrorize people and eat their livestock.
Yeah.
What I love about the Jersey Devil is that some of the sightings apparently resulted in school closures. Like in, I think it was like 1919 or something like that. It's like what snow would do for us here. Where she's like, "Well, we saw too much of the Jersey Devil. We better close school." So this is one of the more infamous sightings. So I thought I'd go over this as well. It started when strange footsteps started showing up, like going over fences and under fences and across people's rooftops. It was later spotted in Pennsylvania. Some people saw the Jersey Devil, and the police started shooting at it. Didn't make any contact. It showed up a couple days later back in New Jersey, where it ate some livestock. And one lady said she caught it trying to eat her dog, so she hit it with a broom.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I would hit it with a broom. I don't know what all these, I don't know what this is, so I'm going to shoot at it mentality.
Just get a broom and say, "Shoo."
Yeah.
Get out of here, man. There's been over 2,000 documented sightings on this thing. So one of the more well-documented cryptids. And my whole thing is there's no pictures. So I said with Bigfoot, I don't believe any of the pictures because they're all hoaxes. But like everyone literally has a camera in their pocket at all times. Like not everyone, like not my grandpa, he has a flip phone. But almost literally everyone has a camera in their pockets at all times. So if you see the Jersey Devil, at least someone's going to get a picture of it.
Yeah.
Unless they're like too scared to get out their phone. I don't know. But the best explanation that I came across is a sandhill crane again. This one makes a little bit more sense than it does the Mothman. It's around the same size. And actually the description, like I saw plenty of pictures on the wiki that resemble a crane. Like
okay.
It's got that kind of body shape, not so much the head, but I can see that one a little bit more. There's been a lot of documented farm animal deaths, but we know that foxes and wolves are notorious for getting into farms and killing the livestock. So I'm not going to put a lot of stock into that. I do have a funny story about that though. My aunt and uncle were having trouble with, I think, foxes getting into their chicken coop. They built a motorized chicken coop and would move it around their yard at night so the foxes wouldn't know where to go in and get their chickens.
Wait.
Yeah.
So that it would like an RC car, the whole coop would move around?
Yeah.
Why not lock it though?
I don't know. They want to give their chickens free reign. I don't know.
That's super fun. Does that count as free range chickens?
Yeah,
they're
motorized
driving
chickens.
That's so sick.
Yeah. So I'm sticking with my rule on Bigfoot. This was back when like a lot of these documentations happened when no one had anything to prove from spreading all these lies. But again, with mass hysteria, you say, "Oh, I saw the Jersey Devil. It killed 8 of my livestock." And then the next day, some foxes get into another farmer's livestock, and he's like, "Oh man, 30 of my ducks died," which did happen. It must be the Jersey Devil. Well, it might just be foxes.
Yeah.
It's Occam's razor. Is it this weird mythological creature that turned into demons when it came out of their mother? Or is it a fox? Some other explanations that I had came from, it could have been a legend that was brought up because people just didn't like the Leeds family, so they made this whole thing up to say, hey, they gave birth to a devil child. The other thing that it could have been created to scare children out of going into the wooded areas, which is another thing we've talked about.
Yep.
With like the glowing cats. What was that whole story?
Oh, yeah. There's a...
we've talked about it before, but yeah, I think there's
99% Invisible podcast with Roman Mars. Mm-hmm. They had a... they had to get rid of radioactive waste in the U.S., so we buried it, and we knew that language would evolve so that you... the way we used to talk 100 years ago even was so different from now, that if we had to protect this area for thousands and thousands of years...
Like, how do you warn people how do you warn a people? Sign if, that yeah. they can't read?
So what exists from thousands and thousands of years ago is folklore.
Right.
So they started to create folklore around this area to scare people, and they thought about genetically modifying cats to glow when they're around radioactive waste.
Yep.
And they would write songs and stories about the radioactive cats, so that when you see it glowing, you know to stay away.
Yeah.
That's real.
Some of these might be a result of that, and I feel like especially the Jersey Devil would be like the origin story to me just sounds like that.
Yeah,
it sounds like don't go in the forest because the Jersey Devil will get you.
Same thing with the with Krampus.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good kid or he's gonna take you away.
Yeah. So that's all I got on our five cryptids for today. Do you want to recap? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to make you recap all five of those.
They're spooky, and let's make our own right now.
Yeah. So we'll take a break, and after that, we'll make our own cryptid.
Okay. Nick, where can people find us?
They can find us primarily on Facebook. That's where the most activity happens. We do polls to see what kind of cryptids you want covered. We also just, hey, I don't know what to cover this week. What do you guys want to hear? That goes up every week, every week.
I share funny pictures of me.
Yeah.
And of you.
Yep. And you can also find us on Twitter. You can go to patreon.com/strangerstill and support us. Get some bonus audio content. And I think that's about it.
Yep.
That's the main places. I'm just too excited to make our own cryptid.
Okay. So here's what I'm thinking. The number one voted one was the Jersey Devil, right?
Right.
It's catchy.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe we modernize it.
Okay.
You know, like Nintendo did Super Mario Bros. And then they came out with new Super Mario Bros. So maybe we do like the new Jersey Devil.
Can we call it the New Jersey Devil U?
Yeah. The New Jersey Devil U. And I'm thinking like branding, like t-shirts, hats. Mm-hmm. We really have to go all out.
Uh-huh.
But it's also got to have a catchphrase.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking like it might be
love catchphrases.
It might be, yeah, the kids love it. Kids will say that stuff and put it on their hats and on their Reddit profiles or whatever they do.
Their Reddit signatures.
Yeah, so maybe like I'm walking here is like too dated.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say that's a really good one.
It could be good though if we add like a little like creepiness at the end. Uh-huh. Like Bigfoot's known for his walking creepy pose. Right.
So like I'm walking here
to get you.
Yeah.
I was thinking towards you.
I was thinking something a little bit.
I'm sorry. I got my flow going.
My catchphrase was just going to be "Oopsie-daisies."
Oopsie-daisies. Yeah, I like it. It's very floral.
Yeah.
But what if instead of I'm walking here? Because what's scary about here? I'm walking there.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So New Jersey Devil.
I don't like it. I'm going to come up with my own.
Okay. What's a new one?
Yeah. So we got to think of some sort of creature.
Okay.
Like the chupacabra's dog, like the Mothman looks like a moth. So we got to think of some sort of maybe mostly harmless animal, but also might be harmful.
Like something that's spooky.
Yeah.
But still pretty, like an octopus.
But you're kind of taking my cryptid away from me.
Like a blobby octopus that walks around on land and gets you. Eight knives.
Eight knives. Let's go with... I'm just going to do the first thing I think of, and that was a raccoon.
Okay.
So we've got a giant, we're going to say 4-foot raccoon.
Okay.
We're going to cut the middle ground between Bigfoot and the Jersey Devil. He's going to be 4 feet high. Except instead of like the grubby raccoon paws, he has human hands.
Oh, gross. I hate him.
Actually, this is like a creepypasta where there's a cat with human hands. So he doesn't have human hands. He has bird talons.
Oof.
And his face looks like a raccoon face, except his ears are not there. He just doesn't have ears.
Wow.
And then he doesn't have a tail, and his belly is a wormhole to another dimension.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I don't know about the last.
So
it's a little much.
Well, you can't tell until you shave off his fur.
Okay.
So not a lot of people know that. Like, that's some of the deep lore.
Yeah.
That comes out in, like, the third sequel.
Right.
And then his MO is he goes around only to blue houses with brown shutters and paints the shutters black.
Whoa.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt anyone. He's kind of a chill dude, but he is very private.
Okay.
So if you see him, he's going to run away.
Yeah.
And he does have a stash of pogs in his lair.
Is of like the game?
Yeah, of pogs, okay. Yes. P-O-G-S.
Slammers?
Slammer. He's got plenty of slammers. His favorite one is a purple one. It's made out of plastic.
Weird. I think it'd be black.
No. But he just doesn't like brown shutters. That's a whole separate thing.
Okay.
And he's very protective of his pogs, so if he feels like those are in danger, he will also paint your face black and then accuse you of wearing blackface. So it gets a little weird.
Yeah.
And you could actually go to jail. You're not going to get hurt, but you could go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. His name is Rasmussen.
Rasmussen. Also, he travels by grabbing onto telephone lines because he's got little bird hands.
Yes. Yeah.
He just kind of slides and glides.
Transportation.
Yeah.
So Rasmussen the raccoon.
Yeah. He'll make you... He can literally, like, while you're sleeping, sneak in your house, and make you wear blackface,
yeah.
And you will wake up and everyone will think that you're a horrible person.
Yeah, so that's Rasmussen. That's his name, right? I already forgot. That was beautiful. So without further ado, I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Beacon.
This is Stranger Still.